Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today in the studio, I have three very well-read people, and we're going to be talking about updates and exciting programs at the Astoria Public Library. In the studio, I have Jimmy Pearson. He is the director of the Astoria Public Library. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Donna. Good morning.
Good morning. I also have Dave Ambrose. Dave is part of the Friends of the Library. He's also a coordinator of a book discussion group, which is going on now, to engage adults with science-related topics. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Very glad you're here. And our beloved local historian, John Gutenberger, is in the studio. He is working on a special library project, which we'll find out about more on this program later on. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Before we begin to talk about all the exciting things happening at the Astoria Public Library these days, let's let the listening audience learn a little bit about each of you, please. So, John Gutenberger, please tell us about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Astoria. I'm focusing on architecture and history. Teach up at the college in the preservation program. During the day, I write, research, and help people on old buildings.
And you give tours, don't you,
I give tours. Sure, I'm out for hire. And I also do tours with fifth graders because I do artists in residency with fifth graders.
And I know that if somebody really wants to know about a house in Astoria or they have a question, they call you.
Sure, they do.
Okay. Jimmy Pearson, tell the listening audience about yourself, please.
So, I've said this before on the show, Donna. I came here for vacation in 2016 and ended up staying. I found out about the job, and my wife and I love the area. We're getting settled in. We've been here about 9 months now, and I'm enjoying all things Astor Public Library.
Yes, and you've made some wonderful changes. I just was fortunate enough to go through the library recently, and I'm excited. We'll talk about some of the things you've done. Dave Ambrose, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Yeah, well, I moved here in the late 80s to Astoria.
Where'd you move from?
Mostly from overseas.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I had tried a short stint back in my roots in Pennsylvania and found that my roots were gone. So I was looking for a new place to call home. A lot of the reason why I moved here was because of KMUN. And I immediately got involved in KMUN and did my stint here at the radio station in various capacities. Now I do other things. One of my passions, of course, is science. And that got me involved in this program that's going on at the library.
All right. And we'll talk about that. Jimmy, let's start with you since you have shaken some things up, literally and physically, at the library. About what are some of the changes that have happened since you've now been the director for the last 9 months?
So I've come in and just assessed the building and the staff, the processes, figuring out how we move forward with John's special project, the basement, and what that looks like, which we are going to open that up in October for people for the 50th anniversary. So you'll be able to come in and repeat the tour that you had, maybe not so in depth, but you'll be able to see what we've been working on and what John has been working on. I have made a couple of hires. I've promoted a staff member, Ann Odom, and brought in a children's specialist to replace Patty Skinner, and I have a children's librarian on staff with Suzanne Harold, who's really doing a phenomenal job coming in and growing our children's programs and taking over from Patty, and I've inherited probably the best staff I've ever worked with in libraries.
What are some of the surprises that you're finding, that you've found being at the library now over these last few months? 6-9 months.
You know, it could be almost a daily thing. I mean, John and his students, and he'll talk a little bit more about that. I just saw for the first time we have a scrapbook for when the JCs contributed and built the replica fort at Fort Clatsop, the first one in 1955. That includes the original sketch drawing of what that would look like. So we now know where all the logs came from. We have pictures of the loggers logging the logs. Of course, it's in the basement.
Of course. There's so much in the basement. You're just discovering kind of what is in the basement as you're moving things around. a lot of people have seen that the library's been in the public eye. There's been a lot of discussion about a new library relocating. Why don't we just kind of catch people up on what happened and where we are now with that?
So last year, City Council voted to not build a new library, and then recently in May, they voted unanimously to move forward with a renovation. So we are in that process. I'm in putting together the RFQ to go out for searching for an architectural firm that will start the process. They'll do a building assessment. Then we'll get some design concepts for the foundation. The library foundation is chaired by Willis Van Dusen, and we'll do a capital campaign, hopefully to raise $3.5 million for the renovation. So it's an exciting time. The library, the building itself is, I think, kind of telling us it's coming back to life. I'm doing some things on the floor and changing some furniture around and bringing up furniture on the floor that was part of the library in the 1950s and when it was in the Elks building in the Studio 11 space. So just kind of creating, doing what you would do when you move in anywhere. You're decluttering, you're finding what you have, you're assessing what you have, and kind of I'm setting the stage for, and it's pretty much set. I've pretty much done what I can on the floor until we renovate the library.
Talk about the building itself and how the library came to be, because now as you walk into the library from the parking lot, you see a photograph of a really important person. Why don't you talk a little bit about just about the history of the library?
So John Jacob Astor, Lord Astor's descendant, John Jacob Astor's descendant became a lord in England. Two of the families branch both ways, one set in America, one in England. Lord Astor came over with his wife in 1961 to celebrate the
sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial. They went back to England and they wrote a check for the city for $100,000, which became the seed money to build the library that we have now, along with $60,000 from the Clatsop County Veterans Memorial Association. And they raised a total of $378,000 in 1966 to build the current building.
And so the architecture of the building reflects what was happening in 1966, which is?
It's a brutalist building, and it was designed by one of the first women architects in Oregon. She also did the Elijah Apartments, Ebba Wicks Brown, and we just celebrated her with a proclamation at council recently.
John, you know a lot about architecture. If someone doesn't understand what a brutalist building is, could you explain that?
Can I first say I hate the word brutalist?
Okay, fine. Let's call it something different then. Okay. Okay.
Let's just frame it within Astoria. So many of the people who were here at the time of the construction say to me, oh, that's a modern Scandinavian building.
Oh,
I
that's
prefer
a
that.
Okay.
I don't like brutalist because it just has a bad feeling about it. Brutalist is all steel and glass and concrete, and there are those elements, certainly, but I would rather think of it as a modern Scandinavian building.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, then let's just reframe this whole story, and we'll just say...
And that matches the modern vintage Scandinavian furniture we have in the library.
Okay, excellent.
Classical IKEA.
Yes, okay. Pre-IKEA, I think, maybe.
Yeah, pre-IKEA.
I don't know how long IKEA has been around. Okay. Jimmy, when you discovered, when you were starting to root around the basement, you found a drawing of what the library might have looked like if we'd had...
So C.T. Diamond's a local architect. And the city reached out too late to be able to build a Carnegie Library. They asked Carnegie Foundation, probably about 4 or 5 years after he stopped giving money for libraries. And actually, we have a letter saying thank you for your application, but we don't do that any longer. But part of the application process would be to send in what you would have proposed as a building. That photo or that picture is hanging outside the flag room as well.
Exactly. When it's charming to look at, but I have a new appreciation for the building now because John has just said so. It fits with our heritage because it's a modern Scandinavian design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that, John. Mm-hmm. And so not only can you see what it might have looked like, but you can also see a picture of Lord Astor there. And the programs that are ongoing are children's programs, like all throughout the summer.
Right. They've been really popular. We've had border collies. We've had a puppet show. I think we have one more major program, and it slips me for what it is, but I think that'll be next Tuesday. The theme is Build a Better World. So Suzanne just had kids build huge buildings out of cardboard boxes. It was really popular. So kind of should have had John in to lead that because they were cutting students.
Right.
Yeah, it feels very alive. The library feels very, very alive right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then in October will be the 50th anniversary of the library, and that's when you're going to launch the capital campaign so that there will be better meeting space. There will be
people in the library renovation study they completed back in 2013. Spoke about some of the things that they want. They want study rooms. They want a quiet study or a quiet area, reading area. They want the children's area to possibly be enclosed. So we're going to, you know, we already have $1.6 million on hand in the city. Hopefully the foundation will be able to raise 3.5, and we'll do the best that we can with what we have.
Oh, good. And in order to be involved, I mean, first of all, I hope that all of you listening are have a library card at the Astoria Public Library, and it's free to anyone living in the city of Astoria. And if you live outside the city of Astoria, it's a nominal fee to be a member. And, of course, there are ways to also be involved. You can become a member of Friends of the Library. You can also be involved with the foundation. But let's move now to talk a little bit about what Dave Ambrose is doing there, because Dave, you're coordinating this book discussion group, which is funded by the National Science Foundation.
They have a program. It's called Pushing the Limits, and it's an effort to take the people who like to read books, the literary end of our spectrum of culture, and inject a little bit of science into it to get people used to science in a way that they've never been involved with science before. So there's a series of four programs. We've had one already. The next one coming up is on August the 8th is when the discussion will happen. And each one of these discussion groups has a book to read. And then there'll be a video by the author of the book at the discussion group, and a video that's connected to the theme of that particular discussion and book reading. I'll be co-leading the next discussion group. The book is called Thunderstruck, and it's written by Eric Larson, who many of you out there who are avid book readers remember a book called The Devil in the White City about the Chicago World's Fair and a serial killer whose stories happen to be going on at the same time. This book is about the inventor, and I'll call him an inventor, Marconi, who invented a way to communicate over long distances using radio waves or electromagnetic waves. And the book explores how he did this book Thunderstruck, and includes a murder mystery that was going on in London at the time, and how Marconi's invention eventually led to nabbing this particular villain who was on a ship on his way to the New World, to North America, to disappear into the ink, the water, disappear his ink into the water of Canada, and how he was caught using Marconi's invention. I'm hoping to have a rudimentary model of what Marconi was doing with this new technology. He literally invented this new technology on his own. He was a tinkerer. He wasn't a scientist. He wasn't trained as a scientist. But he was fascinated with this new discovery of electromagnetic waves. And so I'm hoping that people get fascinated with this electromagnetic wave concept themselves. It includes light. That's how we see things, how we perceive the world. It includes radio waves, which are going out to your radio right now. And a lot of the good science books now focus on the history of science, because things like what Marconi was doing, most people can grasp without any background in science. And so if we get back into the history of science and see how these early people built science up, many of us can start to understand what these concepts are all about and don't have to get involved in very, very technical books. This is an excellent book if you've read any of Eric Larson's books. He's quite a good writer, and just the murder mystery involved in it should keep you spellbound for reading.
Well, I'm going to go right down to my local bookstore and get that book, and then I want to come to the discussion group on August 8th.
Yes, you can do that, or you can go to the library. The Astoria Library has multiple copies of it, which
good
courtesy of the National Science Foundation grant. There are numerous copies there. You don't have to be a member of the library to check out one of these books. So anybody from our listening area can come and get a copy of the book to read it. You've got 3 weeks. Believe me, when you start reading the book, you won't be able to put it down. So I hope to see you there.
Okay.
Yep.
So Thunderstruck is the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion will take place at 5:30 on Tuesday, August 8th. So you have lots of time to read it. And the library has multiple copies of Thunderstruck. And you'll find out about Marconi. And plus, you'll be engaged in a lively discussion.
Right.
And it's fun.
And the theme of the discussion is connections. How we connect and how technology has made us connect even more. At the time that Marconi was doing what he was doing, there was no way for ships at sea to communicate with each other. And so Marconi's invention was highly involved in at least saving part of the passengers on the Titanic. Without Marconi's invention, that SOS signal never would have gotten out to the other ships that came to the rescue of the Titanic and saved quite a few people.
Did you learn that from Thunderstruck? Or did you already know that?
Oh, I kind of knew that. Yeah.
I think you're a historian, okay? Yeah. You've just tuned in. You're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the Astoria Public Library, the various programs. There's a book discussion group. And my guests are Jimmy Pearson. He is the director of the Astoria Public Library. Dave Ambrose is part of the Friends of the Library. He's also a coordinator of the book discussion group to engage adults with science-related topics. And Marconi and Thunderstruck is the book. And that discussion happens on August 8th. And then we'll talk more also afterwards about what the next book will be. And I also have in the studio our favorite historian, local historian, John Gutenberger, who is working on a special library project. So, John Gutenberger, what project are you working for with the library?
So in order to begin the renovation, we have to account for what's in the library. And so I am in the basement. Over the years, families have brought historic artifacts, documents, etc., and place them in the basement of the library. That may be because at one point we had a county library and the idea was to combine the county library and the county historical society together. In any case, we have these items in the basement and they haven't been accounted for. And so my job is to go through, I started in what Jimmy called the vortex, an area where things were just kind of stacked up. And my job is to go through, figure out, put them in broad categories and figure out what connection they may have to our community and what the value might be.
Are you talking about books, newspaper clippings? I mean, what kinds of artifacts in the basement are you working with?
In some cases, they are books. I have a lot of newspaper clippings. I have a lot of legal documents. Then just kind of random items. So if you'd like to know what the weather was like in 1850, I have a handwritten sheet that can tell you that through 1910. There's other kinds of things as well. A blacksmith ledger from 1817. We have original sketches, as Jimmy mentioned earlier. So there's all kinds of really cool things there, and I have help. I have help from my preservation students, Chelsea Billings, Hannah Phillips Goodman, and Brooke Willoughby have been incredible. Also, Autumn Buckridge. All we had to do is ask, and they just started to work. And I thought, what have I been doing with my life? You know, I have all these incredible young women that are helping me, and they're doing incredible work down there. Also have Sheila Nolan, who is also a fellow volunteer at the Clatsop County Historical Society. And she's helped me shift through some of these legal documents. Legal documents being old arrests warrants leases and all this kind of stuff. I have a little stack going of all my favorite villains. You'd be surprised about how many people I know in all those old files. And these are from 1880 to 1930, 40, 50. And you see the same old families in Astoria, and the names are repeated, you know, still kind of getting into trouble or whatnot. And it's kind of fun to go through that.
The penmanship then. I mean, Jimmy showed me some fabulous old documents, and the way they wrote, I mean, were they using quill pens when they were doing that?
I mean, it does look like that. And one of my fears is we have all these documents that are handwritten, and some of us are getting to the age that we're one of the last that can actually read script.
I never thought about that.
And so something needs to happen at some point. We need an app. We need something so that all these documents that tell about our area's history don't become useless or just become so obscure that only a few people can understand them.
Well, that's a very interesting point. So as you are, so you're essentially going through everything in the basement and cataloging things and grouping them. And what is the, for you, was there something fun that you found you were excited about?
Every day is fun.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
I have to say. Every day is fun because every day the basement turns something up. And when I can't make sense of it, I set it aside because I know that eventually there's going to be a connection to that piece.
So if someone is listening to this and they have a document or a book or something that maybe was in the family for a long time and it's a historical piece that could be relevant to Astoria's history that the library might like, we're accepting donations, right?
Sure. You can bring it to us. I am really curious. I have some burning questions. Why do I have a church pulpit? Where did it come from? You know, it's a large wooden one. You saw it during your tour. Why is that there? We could have a service down in the basement. I would love, we have interior photographs from when the library was at the Elks building, when the library was at the senior center. I would love if anybody has any kind of interior photographs for the library when it was in the Kinney building, possibly the Brown Page building, and especially City Hall, which is now the Historical Society. It was there from 1905 to 1938. And the only thing we have at the Historical Society is pictures of when that space was the USO. So I would love to be able to place some of the furniture that we have in the basement. We have a chair from the Johnson Chair Company from the late 1880s, that we have shelving that was in the Elks building, not a far leap of imagination to believe that it could have been in the Historical Society building, but we don't have any kind of visual proof of it.
All right. So you know what would be fun is if you take some photographs, maybe the paper would tell you, do you know this pulpit that is in the basement of the library? Why is it there? Do you have any information? A treasure hunt.
We could do that. Yeah. Eric Bengel, he did a first couple articles on the library, I was like, ask. And I think he did maybe mention it in the first article, but it's fascinating, some of the things. The rule of the basement is never ask why, just accept that it's there. And it won't drive you crazy, and you won't go, why do we have that? Why do we have this? Why do we have that? I think a lot of it is Bruce Burney's work over 30 years. We just have recently honored Bruce for his contribution to the Astoriana Collection and renamed them the Burney Archives. A lot of the why is, I believe people trusted him. He was part of the Historical Society. We have Bibles. The 1728 Bible is because they trusted him to care for it. We have the Jensen Family Bible from 1882 because they trusted Bruce Burney to care for it. He walks through the building every day in memory, and it's been my honor and pleasure to meet him. And he's influenced a lot of what happens even today when you walk through the doors.
And the basement in the library is huge. So that's a space most people have never seen. So that'll be exciting in October when you have the that open to the public. Let's go right back to you, Dave, and please tell us a little bit more about then. We've got August 8th, Thunderstruck, and then if people say, well, I love this idea, I want to get the next book too, what's that going to be?
Right. So then the next discussion group would be August 29th, this another Tuesday at 5:30, and the book for that is called is by Jean. I'm going to mispronounce her last name, so I'll spell it A-U-E-L. It's called The Land of Painted Caves, and she is apparently an anthropologist, I guess, who is exploring some of the other branches of the species, of our species, the Neanderthals and the Cro-Magnons, and is imagining how they fit into the scheme of things and why they didn't survive, what was different about them. The topic is knowledge, and I'm assuming that the book is more about pushing the limits of knowledge.
And how long will these book discussions
be? They're about an hour and a half.
But how long will they go on? Because you have now two in August.
Yeah, so that's the one in August. And then the final one is on September the 19th, and I'll be leading the discussion on that. But let me backtrack a little bit. The one in August the 29th will be led by, and I can't remember her name, but she is she's been doing a lot of work with the EPA in cleanups. So she's more on the environmental end of the spectrum of science, and she'll be co-leading that discussion. And then I'll lead the final one on survival, and that book is a kind of an adventure story called Arctic Drift by a guy named Clive Cussler.
Oh, yes, Clive Cussler.
Yeah. So I hope you can join us for one of these discussion groups. The books are free at the library to check out.
And you can find out more information by going to the library. I want to encourage everyone to go into the library. It just feels so welcoming and exciting these days. We just have a few minutes left. John, any last things you'd like the listening audience to know?
I just remind you to come to our open house on the 8th of October.
The 8th of October is an open house at the library?
The 8th of October is actually... That is the actual 50th anniversary. It's a Sunday. It was a Sunday 50 years ago when they had the first ceremony to dedicate the library. So 8 October 2017, we'd look forward to seeing you. We are going to open up the basement. And I just would like to say, I know that we're closing, that I just have to thank the entire community. This has not been my single effort. We've had every conversation I've had. My staff, like I said, is amazing. Their guidance, their wisdom in helping me get settled. Jane Tucker, my predecessor, prepared us for renovation with all the files and the work that she did. Bruce Burney has prepared us for the future by preserving our past. I could not do it without my friends, my foundation, my board, and a special thanks to all of those people that have had an interest and had conversations about the library. Donna, for you letting us have the airtime, and John, especially, for allowing me to sleep at night, because... we have found some pretty amazing things together, and I now know that we'll be able to take care of them and preserve them better for the future.
Yes, Jimmy, well said. And Dave, any last things you'd like the listening audience to know?
I just want to address the people out there listening who may be a little bit afraid of science and math and technology. I mean, technology is going crazy right now, especially with connecting us all. But it's really not that hard to figure out, especially if you can go back in time to how a lot of our technology and how a lot of our science was first discovered. And so I'd encourage you to start reading stories about Galileo, find out about astronomy. Start there. It's a great place to get a book about the history of science. And you'd be amazed at how much you really understand about science.
And I think it sounds really exciting, Thunderstruck. Pick up the book Thunderstruck at the Astoria Public Library, and then come on August 8th for the discussion at 5:30 at the library. And then October 8th is the 50th anniversary. That's the open house. And we will talk more about the library, because it is the heart of the community. I, as a child, that was where I spent my time. The library was it for me. So thank you all so much for the important work you're doing.
Thank you, Donna.
And so I hope you all will check out our Astoria Public Library, become a friend of Friends of the Library, join that, and participate. I want to thank Graham for being the engineer today, and also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for your body, your mind, and your spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are working well. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.